Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Beis on an Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah. Yisaimim Shesomcho Etz Bnei Bayis. We have here a situation that we have Yisaimim who have somebody managing their affairs. And the first case, first type of individual that our Mishnah mentions who are aware, who are taking care of someone else's affairs, are somebody that the children rely on, the Yisaimim rely on. There is a discussion amongst the Rishonim, at what age can a child, can a Yosim, pick someone to manage his affairs? Some Rishonim say it has to be a child that's 9 years old, because only when a child is 9 years old is he considered that he has some level of intelligence. The Gemara mentions in a number of places that at that age, if we see that they have intelligence, their business transactions are considered valid business transactions, and therefore a child has to be 9 years old to be able to pick such an individual. Others say it could be a child that's already the age of 6 years old, and yet others say that the Mishnah doesn't speak about that age factor. Oy, there's another situation. Shemin al-Mavian apotropos. Their father had appointed someone to manage the affairs. The halacha is, if they have fruits which they want to partake of, the halacha is that these apotropsim could take off mice. The Mefarshim point out that, as we're going to learn in our Mishnah, in our Shir, in our Sugya today, there are really three types of apotropos. The first is the person that we mentioned that the children rely on. Then is the apotropos that was appointed by the father. Then this case is the apotropos appointed by Beis Din. But it's interesting to note, they point out, that our Mishnah, when it speaks about the ability of an apotropos to take off Meiser, does not tell us the din about an apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din. Does he have the right to take off Meiser from the produce of the Yosaimim? So I saw two answers. One answer is that certainly if an apotropos that was appointed by the father or a person that was just relied on by the children have the right to take off Meiser, certainly the apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din has that right. But then I saw that the Maram Shif says a different answer. The Maram Shif says that apotropos that was appointed by a father or an apotropos that the children came to rely on him certainly have the right to take off Trumas and Maestris. The apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din also has the right, he says, but typically he won't exercise that right. He's probably a very prominent and important individual, and therefore he won't be able to spend the time just to take off Trumas and Maestris. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Not because he doesn't have the right, it's just unlikely that he will use that right. And continues the Mishnah, apotropos sheminu av yisaimim, apotropos that was appointed by the father of the yisaimim, yishava. As the yisaimim become adults and he no longer is, his services are no longer required, he has to swear before he gives up his job that he didn't misappropriate any of the funds. Minu Beis Din, however, the apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din, lo yishava, does not have to swear. And Abba Sholomer, just the opposite, Chiluf Devarim. The Rishonim point out that our Mishnah quotes a machloikis, what is the din by apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din, or an apotropos that was appointed by the father, does he or does he not have the obligation to swear when he gives up his job? But as we just mentioned, there's a third type of apotropos, the apotropos that the children are relying on. And our Mishnah doesn't mention what is his din, if he has an obligation to swear or not. And the Rishonim debate why not. So Rishonim say the reason he's not mentioned in our Mishnah is because there is no machloikis regarding his status, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't speak about it. The only question is, what does that mean that there is no machloikis? Some Rishonim say that everybody agrees that such a person does not have to swear, the opinion of the Ravid and the Rambam. The Rosh and the Ramah on the other hand, say that everybody agrees that such an apotropos would have to swear. But whatever his din is, there is no machloikus about him. Vriminu, ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah speaks about the apotropos taking off trumas and maestris for the produce of the yisoymim. Ask the Gemara. It says in a brisa, atim v'loy shotfim, partners don't take off maestra, truma and maestra without permission from each other. Atim v'loy risim, neither do sharecroppers. Atim v'loy apotropsim. Apotropos doesn't take off truma and maestra on behalf of the tvua of the yisoymim. V'loy atayim shen and shaloi. So how does our Mishnah say that apotropos takes off truma and maestra when the brisa says that he doesn't have that right? The Mefarshim ask, if Shutfim, Arisim, Apotropsim don't have the right to take off Mice Truma for someone else, certainly Atarim Shen and Shaloi doesn't have the right. So why does the Mishnah have to mention Atarim Shen and Shaloi? So I saw a number of answers. One is that the Brice is to be understood in the Loizu Afsu fashion. The Brice really didn't have to teach us this thing, but the Brice sometimes mentions something that's obvious. Another Teretz is that loy atarim she'en shaloi is an explanation of the previous rules. Why is there a rule that apotropos or oris can't take off trumas meiser? Because since the halacha is atarim she'en shaloi is ineffective, that's why he can't take off trumas. These people can't take off trumas meiseris for someone else. Another teretz that I saw, loy atarim she'en shaloi is coming to teach us the following case. Let's say I go and I take off trumas meiseris on behalf of someone else, but I don't use his produce to take off the trumas and maestras. I use my own produce to take off his trumas and maestras. So I'm only doing him a favor. I'm not doing him any harm. One would perhaps think that that should be an effective means of taking off trumas and maestras. Teaches us the brisa that if I don't have permission, even though it's not at the expense of my friend, loy atayim shen shaloi, it's then unacceptable. So how could our Mishnah say that it is acceptable? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda loy kasha. Kan, lahachal, kan lo aniach. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. If the point of my taking off the Trumas, of the Apotropos' point of taking off Trumas and Maestris is that he wants to be able to give the Yisoyim, they need what to eat, and they're not allowed to eat food, that's Tevil, from which Truma Maestr wasn't removed, then the apotropos may take off the trumas and maestras. But if he's just putting it away to put away in a storehouse, then it's osur. And why? Because if it's being put away and it's not being sold immediately, explain the mefarshim according to this understanding, that why take off the trumas now? Why not wait until the yisoymim become gedolim and then either they're obligated themselves to do the mitzvah, they're ready bar mitzvah, or there's always an issue, always a point to do it yourself, so let the Yisoyim take it off themselves, not rely on someone else, or the halach is that the one who actually takes off the Trumas and Maestris is entitled to Toivas Hanoah. He's entitled to a small payment from the family of the Kayin or Levi, whom he chooses to give the Trumas and Maestris to, and we want that the Yisoyim to be able to get that benefit. The Mefarshim point out that why are we so concerned that the Yisoyim should have the Trumas and Maestris removed in order that they should be able to eat the fruit produce? Isn't this, aren't they Ketanim? And the halacha is that a cotton is allowed to eat Macholos Asuris. We're not allowed to feed him Macholos Asuris, but he's allowed to eat Macholos Asuris. So Mefarshim answer that the apotropos is actually feeding them the food, and that's prohibited. Or, since the apotropos has the obligation to feed them, allowing them to eat something that's unacceptable, that's not kosher, is actually like they were to feed them something that's not kosher. This is the approach that most Rishonim take at understanding our Gemara. However, there is another approach that the Rambam takes, and he says like this. If they're taking off Trumas and Maestras in order that because the Yisoyim want to eat the food, and they're not allowed to eat Tevel, then the apotropos should take off Trumas and Maestras. But if he's going to sell this food to someone else, even though normally the halach is that the seller should preferably take off the trumas and maizris to avoid that the buyer should chas v'sholem not eat tevel. Here, since the sellers are representing yesaimim, that then doesn't apply. And many mefarshim take great issue with the Rambam's pshat, because they say that just because the sellers are apotropsim of yesaimim, can we bring ourselves to a situation where chas v'sholem the buyer may end up eating tevel? I also saw an interesting tshuva from the Klozim Magareba that says, as we're learning now in our Gemara, under certain circumstances, we're learning that trumas and maisers can be removed by someone else on behalf of someone else. Says the Klozim Magareba, the bracha should be made by the one who actually does the afrosha, by the one that's actually doing the separation, not by the owner. He says a very interesting svara. He says it's inconceivable to believe that someone is at home sleeping, someone is at home not at all connected to the mitzvah, and he should still make the bracha. Vatanya, and the Gemara in fact quotes a brisa that corroborates this understanding, that says habetropsim tarmen amasrim, habetropsim have the right to take off trumas and maestras when their purpose is lahachal v'loy laniach. Continues the Gemara quoting the brisa, the apotropsim may sell for the benefit of the yesaimim, the hema, their animals, avodim, their slaves, the shvachas, the maids, bought them, saw the sukramim, the houses and the fields. Lahachel, again, because the money is needed for them to eat, to have, to live, avloy lanich, not to sell it, just to put the money away. Again, they may sell peiros, yenas, shamanim, v'saltas, fruits and oils and oil, fruits and wine and oil and flour. Again, lahachal avloy laniach. Vaislam, and they also make on behalf of the yisaimim a lulav, the dalaminim, varova, sukkah, v'tzitzis. The kol davar sheyesh lekitzvah, anything that has a set amount, lasuya shayfer. And there's a big discussion here amongst the paiskim when it says arova. Firstly, I saw from here we see that arova, which is only a minig neviim, it's not midoraisa, still included in the obligation of chinuch are even things which are only a minig like the arova. But then the paiskim discuss that there's a discussion in Masechta Sukkah if one has to buy a special arovis for Shana Rabba, or he could just use that rubber from the lulav. So the question is, if we're so out to protect the assets of the yesaimim, why should the apotropis be allowed to buy a special arovis for the yesaimim? Why doesn't he just use that arovis from the lulav? So one pshat that I saw is that the apotropis bought one set of dalad minim for all of the yesaimim, so he doesn't. But arovis, everybody gets to own Hoshanis, so there aren't enough to go around, because this is also based that one should not use the Hoshana that was used by someone else. That's one pshat. But then I saw another pshat from the Maram Shif. The Maram Shif says as follows: we need to understand, he says, the Braisa we just learned, the called Dovish Shesh Lekitzva, comes to teach us Lasuye Shofar, that one could spend the Yosem's money to buy a Shofar. And it's somewhat difficult to understand. Does everybody need their own shofar? Don't most people just come to shul and hear the shofar that's blown and they don't need to bring their own shofar? Says the Maram Shif that the Braisa is teaching us how far chinuch goes. Since it's preferable that one should have his own shofar, in case there is no shofar available, he should be able to for sure fulfill the mitzvah. So we want to teach us, says the Maram Shif, that the chinuch has to be perfect. And therefore, since the minig, he says, is that for Hoshanis, we use 5 aravis, and in the lulav, there's only 2 aravis, so that's not the perfect way of doing the mitzvah. And chinuch should be done perfectly. And therefore, the apotropis could take money out to buy aravis on behalf of the yisaimim. The loichlehem, and we also buy on behalf of the yesaimim, say for Torah, tefillin, and mezuzas, for kol davar sheyesh lekitzva, anything that has a set amount, Lasuya Megillah. And here there's also a discussion amongst the Paiskim when it says tefillin. The Paiskim say, the Paiskim discussed, we know there's a question, that we know, but the rice of a child is only mechuyev to start wearing tefillin when he becomes bar mitzvah. The question here is, what is the din before a bar mitzvah? Is there a point to be mechanech a child even before he's bar mitzvah to start wearing tefillin? The Magen Avraham says that there is such a issue, and he uses, and in fact our Gemara could be a basis for that, because here we're obviously talking about children who are not yet bar mitzvah, and the Bryce is teaching us that even though they're not yet bar mitzvah, we buy for them tefillin, because we're supposed to be mechanech children who are not yet bar mitzvah. However, there are other paiskim that suggest that normally a child who Baruch Hashem has parents should only begin wearing tefillin when he is bar mitzvah. However, by Yisoymim, they begin wearing tefillin earlier, and that's what the Brice is teaching us. Here we're talking about a Yosim. A Yosim begins wearing tefillin even before he's bar mitzvah, unlike everyone else. And the question that the Mefarshim discuss is, why is a Yosim treated different than all other bar mitzvahs? I saw three explanations. One is that the Yosim who lost his father, him putting on tefillin is a schus for his father's neshama in the Olam Ha'emes. Another pshat that I saw is that Baruch Hashem, a child who has a father, his father is going to train him properly when he becomes bar mitzvah to put on tefillin and all of the hilchus tefillin. Unfortunately, here, however, we're discussing a Yosim who doesn't have a father who will give him the proper chinuch. And therefore, to make sure that he gets the chinuch, the proper chinuch, we begin earlier. A third interesting pshat that I saw is as follows. The reason those that don't put on tefillin before the bar mitzvah is because they feel that the child is not yet mature. We only know that the child is for sure mature enough when he becomes bar mitzvah. However, a Yosim who never lost his father, that causes him to mature at an earlier age. And therefore, the Yosim who's mature at a younger age puts on tefillin before the bar mitzvah. Other children that don't have that maturity at the younger age don't put on the tefillin until the bar mitzvah. Continues the Braisa, Vein Paiskim Malayim Tzedaka, we don't pledge tzedaka on their behalf. Nor do we take their funds to accomplish pinyan shvuyim, because they're not obligated to pay for tzedakah. However, the Marit does say that under certain circumstances we do take tzedakah from the assets of Yisoymim when it's a very important cause, or where it's obvious that the father would have wanted that his money should be used for this cause. V'loy called Davish Eilei Kitzvah, nor do we do use the money for something that doesn't have a fixed amount. The minig was, the minig still is, that the food is brought to the home of Avelim. The money of Yisoymim should not be used for that purpose. And I saw an interesting tshuva from a Vosner in the Shevet Halevi, who says that even though we know that halacha is that one may not give a gift to an avil, and that's what halacha is, that on Purim we don't send shalach manis to avelim. Says Rav Vosner, sending food to the home of an avil is not considered sending him a gift. Rather, because the avil is sitting shiva, and the avil is supposed to be concentrating, unfortunately, on his grief, on his avelis, we don't use those. We sending him food is just to help him be able to survive. It's not considered sending him a gift. Vein a pesrapsim rishon lodin, they can't act as litigators lechayv ulischus, neither for benefit or for loss. B'nechse yisvaymen. Ask the Gemara liskoy samayloi. We can well understand why they can't act for their chayv, but why can't they act lischus? Says the Gemara, what it means is l'choiv amnas liskos b'nichse yisoymen. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows: an apotropis can take upon himself to be the dayan to be the litigator in a case that involves the Yesoimim for whom he is the apotropis. And if he will win the case, fine. But if he ends up losing the case, that will nullify that judgment. And therefore, as explained the Mefarshim, it's highly unlikely that anyone will accept upon themselves, anybody will accept upon themselves an apotropis to be allowed to be a litigator in a case for the Yosim. Another pshat that I saw is that there are two types of situations. Sometimes someone has a claim against the assets of the Yosimim, and sometimes the Yosimim have claims against others. What the Braisa says is, if someone has a claim against the Yosimim, then the apotropis cannot be the one involved in the case. But if that Yosimim have a claim against others, there the apotropis can litigate on behalf of the Yosimim. Then apotropsim shayim limcha barachoik or ligal bakarev. The apotropsim can't sell property that's far away to buy property which is closer, or barah, or even to sell poor quality property, ligal bayof, in order to buy good quality property. And ask the Gemara, my tama, isn't he doing something that's on behalf, that's a benefit to the Yosim? Says the Gemara, the concern is Dilma Mishtatfin. We don't know what's going to happen to the property. We think that this property is better when indeed it's worse. And as the Mefarshim point out, even if it's a situation of ligoil, where the apotropis is buying a property that they previously owned, and there is no concern that anybody's going to claim that this property is not truly the Yosim's, still, we don't know which is the better real estate deal. Continues the Braisa. Then apotropsim rishoy limka sodis olika chavodim. The apotropsim may not sell fields in order to buy slaves. Amoichim avodim, they may sell slaves for the purpose of loichim and sodis to buy property. Rishim Gamliel, afloy limka avodim loika sodis. One may not even sell slaves in order to buy real estate. There may be a claim against the real estate, and therefore, even though real estate is typically more of a valuable asset than avodim, sometimes avodim may be a safer investment. Continues the Braisa. Vein apotropsim reshoyim lahoitza avodim lecheiris. They may not free the avodim kananim. Avamachon reshoyim lecheirim. They may be sold to others on behalf of the benefit of the assignment, they need the money. And then there's other people who will set them free. And as Tosfos explains, what is pshat in this din? Selling, we know, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, freeing a slave is something that's typically not done. And therefore, if apotropis directly frees the slave, it looks like they're not treating the assets of the assignment properly, and therefore Chazal said that he should never free the slaves directly. Rabbi Omer ani afu nice nemei atzma v'yotzi, he may give his own value to go out, as long as he gets the value, it's fine. But tzarech l'chashvi ma b'achrona, as the apotropos is giving up his position, they have to make a calculation. Ask the Mefarshim, isn't this exactly the subject that we discussed in our Mishnah? If a Shvua is made at the end of the apotropos's tenor or not. So Mefarshim say that this is a different subject. Our Mishnah, which we'll discuss later in the Shir, discusses the obligation of making a Shvua. Here the Gemara is talking about making a calculation, not a Shvua, a totally different subject. One may not appoint a woman, a slave, or a cotton as apotropis. However, if the father appointed them, that is acceptable. And as the Mefarshim explained, what the Braisa is teaching us is that we would think that these individuals are so disqualified that even if they were appointed, their appointment should be considered null and void. Teaches us the Gemara that if they were appointed, they were acceptable. Another pshat that I saw from the Rashba is that even though Beis Din should not appoint such individuals to such a position, however, if Beis Din is aware that the father had specific confidence and these individuals, and therefore Bez didn't think that this is whom the father would have wanted to manage the affairs of the assignment, Bez didn't may appoint these individuals to that position. Says the Gemara, Hahu apotropos dava b'shivasa d'Rameya. There was an apotropos that lived in the neighborhood of Rameya. Dava kamaz bin arasov zoven avdi. He was selling property with the purpose of buying slaves. V'lashafki Rameya. And Rameya did not allow him to do this, as we just learned in the Gemara, that it's not supposed to, as the Brisa just taught it. Achvalei b'chami, so Rameya saw in his dream, and nila arois v'ata livnois, as the Rishonim explained. This father had obtained these assets in an illegal manner. So min hashamayim, they wanted him to lose it. And that's why they sort of directed the apotropos min hashamayim to make bad business decisions, sell the field to buy an eved. So they told him, Ani Larois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to break this fortune, not to live in this, and you want to protect it. Still, Afilo Hachalai Ashgach, Ramey did not pay heed, because Ramey said, Divrei Chaloimus Loimalin V'Loim Meridin. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, here we're saying that we don't pay heed to dreams. Yet we do know in Halacha that there is a concept of paying heed to dreams. There's even a concept that you fast the Tanis Chaloim even in Shabbos. When we duchen, we say a Nusach of Hatovas Chaloim. So how does our Gemara say that we disregard dreams? So the Mefarshim explains, certainly we don't disregard dreams. If somebody remembers a dream under certain circumstances, he has to pay attention to what he learned, what he heard. However, to base a halachic decision on a dream, that is not proper. I saw a nice vart from the Imri Emes. We know that when Yaakov Avinu had a dream, the pasuk says, "V'hinei malachei Elokim oilim v'yordim bo." What was the message that was being given to Yaakov Avinu? The message was that even though normally our Gemara teaches us that dreams are loy malin v'loy meridin, we don't pay attention to dreams. Hine malach elakim, the malachim was sending Yaakov a message that this dream, oilim v'yardim boy, is a relevant dream and is a dream to be taken to consideration because it's a dream directly on the vua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Hani bei trade the Igor b'Satan. There were two individuals that the Satan would incite them. The Kobay Shimsha have a commence Bahad Adodi. Every Friday afternoon they would get into a dispute. Ikla Ramey Lahosim, Ramey came to this place. Ikvinu Tilsubay Shimshi Adavid Lashoma. He held them back for three Friday afternoons that they should not argue. Shamik the comer, and then he heard the Satan say, Vai the Afke Ramey who government base. Ramey chased the Satan out of this house. And the Pasha Pshat is that Friday afternoon is a pressurized time, and it's likely that people will get into disagreements, and therefore that's the time to avoid that. Another pshat that I saw is that these two people were having a halachic disagreement. What is the proper way to celebrate Shabbos? One said Shabbos is supposed to be Kula Hashem. Shabbos is a day of davening and learning. And the other one said, Shabbos is supposed to be Kuloi Lechem. Shabbos is a day for enjoyment. Until Ramey made peace and said Shabbos is for both. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains the Gemara somewhat differently. He says that the mark of a Satan, the mark of the Yetzer Hara, is Machloikis. The mark of Shabbos is Shabbos Shalom Umenucha, and therefore the Satan and Shabbos are just the opposite of each other, and Ramey wanted to bring a true Shabbos. The Gra says a different pshat. The Gra says that a person's entire week is based on how he celebrated the Shabbos, and therefore if Chas V'Shalom someone got angry on Shabbos, his entire week will not be a great week. And therefore, the Satan, who wanted to accomplish that these people should not have a good week, would cause that they should get into a fight on Erev Shabbos, in order that when Shabbos came, they would be angry, they would be bekas, which would have an adverse effect on the entire week. So Rameyah knew this, and that's why he went out of his way to make sure that they should be b'shalom as Shabbos enters, and that they should have a peaceful Shabbos shalom umavayruch, that they should cause that the entire week should be a week of bracha. And in fact, I saw from the Likutei Tzvi that this is the reason why we begin the Zmiris Friday night with singing Shalom Aleichem. Because we just finished learning in our Gemara how important it is to begin the Shabbos and to have the Shabbos with Shalom. It says the Gemara, Ahu Apotropos, David Vishvos, Rav Yishuv ben Levi. There was this Apotropos that lived in the neighborhood of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. The Kavamaz ben Arav Zavin Turei. They would sell property in order to buy oxen. So Loi Amal of Lamidi, and Rabbi Shuba Levi didn't say anything to them. Sovla Krab Yossi, because Rabbi Shuba Levi obviously held the Krab Yossi, that this is a beneficial transaction. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Miyamai Loi Kurosi Ishti Ishti, I never called my wife, Ula Shari Shari, nor did I call my axe an axe. El Ishti, I called Basi, recognizing that my wife is the foundation of the home, and therefore she should be called Basi Ulushore Sodai. And Mepharshim explained, what's Pshat Lushore Sodai? So Mepharshim explained that a person who works as a farmer for a profession is a person who typically will have a Muna, because he realizes how his entire success is in the hands of Hashem. Somebody in a different profession, shoyer, who works with animals, may not have that recognition. Said Rabbi Yossi, l'shoyrei, even if I recognize that it's not my axe, it's not my power that brings me hatzlacha, it's sodai. It's like the people who are in the farming business that recognize that all of our success comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Honi Yasmi Dav Smicha Gabi Hisavta. There were these Yisoimim their affairs were being managed by this elderly woman. Havlu Tarasu, they had a cow, Shaklu Vizintse Nale, and she sold it. Also Kroivim Kamed Rav Nachman, the relatives came to Rav Nachman, Amra, my Vidita the Zavna, who appointed her that she should have a light to do this with their assets? Amlu Yisoimim Shesomcha Eitz Balabayis Tanan, she was a woman that they relied on, and since they relied on her, she has the din of a apotropos. Asked the Gemara of a Yaker, but the cow went up in value, and the son took a loss through his sale. Says the Gemara, b'shus of the lekecha Yaker, it went up in value after the buyer received it, and that's what happens sometimes in business. Asked the Gemara of a Nikiti Demi, but the buyer had not yet paid for it. Amalhu, so he said, Imkain, Hain Rav Chaniloi bar Idi Amishmul. Dom Rav Chaniloi bar Idi Amishmul. Nichsi Yisoyim Arenke Hegdish, Vloy Mikni Ela Bekaspa. Even though normally the halacha is that for a sale to be a valid sale, it's as soon as Mashicha is done, as soon as there's some sort of a kinyan. Here, there's a special din that like by Hegdish, that the din is that it's only when cash is received. And since the Yisoimim had not yet received cash for their animals, they could retract on the deal. And the Gemara now will go into a number of situations where Yisoimim may or where Yisoimim may not retract in deals. Says the Gemara, Chamra d'ravna ukva yasna mishchua. The purchasers of the wine, a Ravana Ukva, who was a Yosim, Mashiach was done to it. At the time Mashiach was done, the value of the wine was Arba, 4 zuz per barrel for Yakar, and the price of wine went up. The Karmashita Shita went up to 6 zuz per barrel. Osul Kamed Rav Nachman, they came to Rav Nachman, Amluhu, and he said, this is what we just learned. Hain Rav Chaniloi Bar Idi, Dom Rav Chaniloi Bar Idi Amashmu, Nichsi Yisoyim Rein Kehegdish, Vlai Mikne Alab Kaspa, and since the Yisoyim had not yet received cash, they could retract on the deal, which is to benefit to retract because the price went up. Or the purchasers have to agree to pay the current higher price. Says the Gemara, Moshech Peri Miyasmei, when produce was drawn from the possession of the Yisoymim, a yaker, and the price went up, that's the case of Chanoa Ba'idi, and the sale is not considered a final sale. Zoil, however, if the price goes down, and just like, since a purchaser can't go back on the deal after Mashiach was done, here too, we don't make rules for Hegdish or for Yisoymim to their detriment. It's only to the benefit, and here, since the Mashiach was done, it's already considered the purchases, and it can't retract. Im Shulcha Peri Liyasmi, if the apotropsim did Mashiach on produce on behalf of the Yisoymim and a Yaker, and then the price goes up, and even though only Mashiach was done, there was no money given yet, still it's considered the Yisoymim's, and they got a good deal. However, Zol, if the price goes down, so now the Yisoymim would want to get out of this deal, so the Gemara thought, that since cash wasn't given by the Yisoymim yet, they could still retract. Even though we could think that maybe it's bad that we're not letting them retract, actually letting them retract would be bad. The Zimna, the Mitztarch Leperi, sometimes they're going to require produce. Veleka the Yav Le Ad Yav Zuzei, and then nobody's ever going to want to do business with them until they pay. And therefore, Chazal teach us that they cannot retract. Similarly, Yor Yasmi Zuzei Aperi, if the orphan's already paid and they didn't do Mashiach, Zol, and then the price went down and they want to retract, so we would think, and just like by Hedyot, it's not considered a transaction until Mashiach was accomplished. Here too, perhaps it should not be considered a transaction until Mashiach was accomplished. Therefore, they could retract. However, a yaker, if it goes up, that they could retract, that the sellers cannot retract because they didn't, they cannot retract because that the orphans could become the owner, that the orphans could become the owners just by buying it, and since they paid, even though they didn't give Mashiach, it should be considered theirs. So the Gemara Amalar of Shish Bereid Ravidi, Harol Adadu. We would think that's to their benefit to let them retract. Actually, it's not. Because the Asul Meimu Nisr Chafech Beliyah. And as Mefarshim explained, the entire purpose of Mashiach is because if Kesef alone, if cash alone would affect the transaction, well, what would happen is that people would get the cash, and then if something happened as they're still holding the produce or the items that they sold, they wouldn't have any feeling to protect it. It's not theirs. And therefore, that concern even applies by Yisoymim, and therefore, they don't let them retract. Yavlu Zazli Yasmir Peri. If purchasers gave the Yisoymim money, but did not take that to Mashiach, a Yacher, and then the price goes up, and since the seller could cancel the sale before Mashiach was done under normal circumstances, certainly Yisoymim could cancel the sale. So, but if the price goes down, that since Yisoymim are treated like Hegdish, the purchaser receives it, it becomes his as soon as he paid, even though he didn't do Mashiach. This is really detrimental to the Yisoymim. The Zimna the Mitztarch Lezuzei, because if we're going to take this position, sometimes the Yisoymim are going to require cash. The Lek of the Yavlu are the Yavlu Peri. Nobody's going to give it to them until they actually deliver the fruit, and they need the cash quicker. So as the Mefarshim point out, that after learning this entire piece of Gemara, the special din that we said that Yisoymim have, that their kinyonim are only considered kinyonim when cash is given, is only in the case where somebody did the customers did mashicha and the peiros went up in value. In all other cases, yisoyim actually are treated the same way as all other business transactions. Amar Ravashi, Anor Rav Kahana, Chasimnen Ashtori De'imi D'ziri Yasma. Rav Kahana and I signed on a sale that was written by the mother of Ziri the Yasim, the Mezabna Ar Lakarga, who sold the land to be able to pay off the taxes, Beloyach Rasta, without a public bidding process. That even though normally the assets of a Yasim cannot be sold without going through a public bidding process, here we didn't require it. Damri Nadai Lakarga, in order to pay the taxes on behalf of the Yasimim, Ulamazoinim, or to get food for the Almano, for the Yasimim, Ulakfura, for Kfura, Makzinim Beloy Achrasta. We could sell even without an Achrasta, even without public bidding. And as Tysus points out, certainly if we have someone who died that has to be buried, we're allowed to spend, we're allowed to sell property without going through a public bidding in order to be able to do Kfura Sameis. Tysus says, even in a case where we borrowed money and the mace was already buried and now we're just selling the property to pay off that debt, still, since that is being sold to pay off the tzorchei hakvura, it could be sold without an achrasa. Amram Tzava apotropos of the Yasmiava. Amram Tzava was the apotropos of Yisoymim, also Kroivim HaKamed Rav Nachman, and the relatives of these Yisoymim came to Rav Nachman Amrile, and they told him, Kolovish Umachsim Yasmi. He's putting on nice clothing from the money that he's taking from the Yasmin. Amalei Keich Delishtam Mila. He wants to be able to conduct business, and a person who's dressed well is able, makes a better impression, and therefore he can conduct good business deals, and he's allowed to use the money from the Yasmin for that purpose. However, the Pais can point out that even though he's allowed to use the money for that purpose, he has to give a public, he has to give an accounting of how, what, and why he used the money. Continues, they said, Ka'ochle v'shasim to do. He's using their money to buy food and drink, v'loy amid, and he's now wealthy enough to live that way. Amar, so Rav Nachman said, we shouldn't judge him unfavorably. Mitzia ashkach. He found a metziah, and now that's how he has money to live a better lifestyle. Asked the Gemara about kamafsid, but they told him that he's damaging the property of the Yisoyimim. Amali isli sadi the mafsid, bring witnesses that that is indeed what he's doing, v'salkina, and I will remove him from his position. Dom Rav Huna chav mishmei derav, apotropos of the mafsid, apotropos that is damaging the assets of the Yisoyimim, misalkinale is removed. Ditmar, apotropos the mafsid, Rav Huna amara misalkinale, Tabei Rav Shile amara loy misalkinale. However, the hilchasa is that misalkinale, that he is removed from the position. Apotropos shemini menu avse yisoyimim. We learned in our Mishnah that apotropos was appointed by the father of the yisoyimim. When he finishes his tenor, yishova. My tama. Why will he swear? Says the Gemara, Ilav de Islei Hanomine. This person would have never accepted upon himself this position of being apotropos, unless that he had some benefit from the father, and he owed it to the father. Otherwise, Lahavale apotropos. He would have never accepted the position upon himself, and therefore, Mishum Shvua, just because we're requiring him to make a Shvua, that won't prevent him, Lahaslam Nui, from taking the job. However, Minor Bezdin, according to the Tanakhama, Lo Yishav, he doesn't swear. Because Nilsa Da'avad Beidina, he's doing Bezdin a favor when he accepts upon himself this position. But if Bezdin is going to make him make a Shvua, Aslam Nu, he'll never accept the position from Bezdin. Abishol says, Chiluf Advarim, just the opposite. Says the Gemara, My Tama, Minor Bezdin Yishavah. What does Abishol say that if Bezdin appointed him, he does swear? Says the Gemara, because by he and no, the karnofik lakola, a person has enjoyment, the person is very satisfied, the Bezdin picked him to be an apotropos. Bezdin considers him an honest, capable individual. The inish mehemnehu, he's a trustworthy person, the somach le Bezdin. Bezdin picked him from everyone else to be an apotropos. So just because Mishum Shvu, just because he's going to have to swear, Lo Yosel Nua. However, says Abba Shol, Mino Avi Yisoymim, if he was appointed by the father of the Yisoymim, then Lo Yishava. Because Milsa Da Amahu Da Avila Dodi. He has a relationship with the father. V'Rama Salai Shvua, but just if you're going to make a Shvua, then that relationship, Aslam Nua, is not going to be strong enough that he's going to take the position, and therefore, if you're going to make him swear, he won't take the position, and therefore, says Abba Shol, we don't make him swear. Amar of Chanan bar Ami Amar Shmuel, Hilchasak Abba Shol, Talochi is like Abba Shol. Tanya of Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Zeh v'zeh Yishava, both types of administrators, whether he was appointed by Bezdin, or whether he's appointed by the father, should swear. Talochi Kedvarv, and that is indeed the Halacha. Tanya of Tachlif of Mamarova Kameder Ravua, Abba Trapa Sheminua Avi Yisayim Yishava, Nesha Noish Tosachar. Because he's considered like he's getting paid, and therefore, since he's getting paid, so he has to swear that he did his job properly. At we don't let the apotropos take money. So are you saying that he's considered a nice socher? He's like someone who received benefit. For as we learned before, if not for the fact that the father had, he had received some benefit from the father, he would have never taken this position. So he took it because he received benefit, and therefore it's considered a, not, he's considered like a nicer socher, and he should swear. The Mepaiskim say that certainly in a case where the Yisoymim have a kind of spari, they're claiming that for sure the apotropos misappropriated the funds, he has to swear. Furthermore, if the apotropos took a share in profits that were realized from the assets of the assignment, also everybody will agree that he has to swear. Also, in a case where he is an oinus, if something happened, we don't remove him. And certainly in a case where he is a pesheya, that he was negligent in his duties, we certainly remove him from his position.